First reading, our New Testament reading to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So here in chapter 3, we follow on regarding chapter 4, and we see, regarding chapter 2, I do know that 2 precedes 3. So here we follow on with chapter 2, and as we have heard of Paul's pastoral care over the Thessalonian church, now we see it play out even more. Notice that When the apostle will write to the Corinthians, he will say something like this. He'll say, and besides all of this stuff that's going on the outside, there's all of this stuff that daily presses upon me, the care of all the churches. Paul has been in Thessalonica. He's left there. He went after that to Philippi. Then after that, he went to Corinth. Now he is in Corinth, and he's waiting in Corinth and wondering about the Thessalonians. We'll remember that the synagogue that was in Thessalonica kicked him out from preaching. The Jews that were in Thessalonica persecuted them and drove them out of town, Paul and Timothy and Silas, and they went south to Berea. Those Thessalonian Jews were so vehement against the gospel that they rose up even and got out of their own city and chased them down into Berea and caused trouble there. So what is the apostle thinking in all of this? I wonder what they're doing to this fledgling Thessalonian church. I wonder how they're wreaking havoc in it, if they are or not. He's already spoken to them in chapters 1 and 2 about the persecution that they have been suffering at the hands of their own countrymen, just like the Judean Christians were suffering at the hands of their own countrymen. And so to be a Christian in the first century was a difficult proposition. There was persecution, and the persecution came hot, and it came heavy. and the apostles' care for them finally got the best of him. And so while waiting at Athens, he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to see how they were doing. So if you read the narrative, you'll remember that he started from Thessalonica, went to Philippi, from Philippi south into Berea, and then into Philippi, and then into Corinth. But between Philippi and Corinth is Athens. And he stops in Athens, and that's where he is invited to preach at the Areopagus, and he speaks to the Epicureans and the Stoics that were there. Okay, so all along that way, Paul hasn't ceased ministering, but there's something else that he hasn't ceased to do, and that is to care for the Thessalonians, to be concerned for them, to pray for them, and to wonder how they're doing in the face of very difficult persecution. So that's what comes through here in these first few verses. We could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone. The we there is the royal we, right? Paul was alone in Athens. What was he doing in Athens? Do you remember what he was doing there in Acts chapter 17? He was in the marketplace daily, and he was striking up conversations with people. He was having dialogues in the marketplace, and finally that got him an invitation to the Areopagus, where he was able to preach to the Epicureans and Stoics. So he's very busy about his ministry, but that busyness about his ministry did not stop him from praying and being concerned for the Thessalonians. It wasn't out of sight, out of mind with him. This is a great point of understanding for those who aspire to church office. There's a great responsibility that is laid upon us to be concerned for the souls of those that are under our charge. And so, notice, he wanted comfort concerning their faith, or he wanted Timothy to comfort them, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. And then he says, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And so once again, we have this statement in the scriptures that helps us to understand something about ourselves. And that is that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. It's more difficult for us to take some surprising affliction than it is for us to endure when we're expecting that affliction to come. As a matter of fact, beloved, I would go so far as to say this, that as I have observed my own and others' human nature over these going on 7 decades of life, I would say that very often it is our expectations that trip us up rather than the afflictions themselves. If we are not expecting something difficult and it comes our way, we are generally, as we say in English, thrown for a loop, whether it would be otherwise, right, if we were expecting it. If we have steeled ourselves against an affliction and it comes, we often do quite better, don't we? And so what do we have here then? We have the Apostle Paul revealing to us the Lord's knowledge of our human nature, telling us this: I told you before I left that you're going to suffer tribulation. We're appointed to that. Remember that I told you that, and that will be a hedge when that tribulation comes. And as it turns out, it most certainly is. It was a great hedge for them, because now Timothy returns, finds Paul in Corinth, and what happens? He brings the report of the Thessalonians that they are indeed standing fast in the faith, though they are suffering the blows of persecution. So, beloved, learn this about yourselves and take the Bible's warnings, right? Take the Bible's warnings concerning what? Well, like what we've been talking through in the morning worship services, in our sermon series on the enemy of our soul, right? He's going to be there. He's going to be busy. He's going to assault you. In fact, the Lord has given him, how many have we seen? 13 or 14 names. The Lord gave him those names as his creator so that we would know what those devices are that he brings when he comes, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Or with regard to affliction, Remember that concept of turning corners. Oh, well, there's this thing that I just can't do without in my life. And the Lord takes it away. And suddenly you think, you know what? I guess I can do without that. I've turned that corner. I'm never going back there. We often joke about that with regard to age and physical ability, you know. But it's not just age and physical ability. It's something far beyond that. But we should meet those things, those afflictions, turning those corners, with certain expectations, with certain concepts of being forewarned. And we also know that in the midst of every one of them, the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so what do we have here in the Thessalonian church? We have a wonderful example, first of all, of hearing the word of God. That was one of Paul's first commendations. When you receive the word of God, you receive it as it truly is, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. So, first of all, they receive the word as the word of God. Whatever God has said in that book, that's it. I'm not turning away from that to the right hand, nor to the left, though all my senses tell me something different. My senses might be tempted to tell me, my thinking, my interpretation of my providence might be tempted to tell me, God has forsaken me. Look at us. We're being persecuted by our own countrymen. Some of us have died. What did they do? They received the word of God as it is in truth. And so though some of us meet with that eternal reward, the Lord is with us. We anticipate that because we have been forewarned. Well, this makes for strong Christians, doesn't it? If we would think about the Lord in these ways, if we would think about his word in these ways, if we would think about bearing up under difficulty and affliction, suffering even of our own countrymen, even perhaps our own family members, we would be steeled up and able to meet those afflictions with greater courage, greater spiritual courage, and greater success. But now, verse 6, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. What was the secret, or one of the secrets, of Paul's resilience? Spiritual resilience, that he was not self-focused. If you want to lose some spiritual resilience, focus on yourself. What does Paul say here? For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Paul looked out away from himself. He rejoiced in the advancement of others. He rejoiced in the perseverance of others, even in the face of great difficulty. He prayed for others. This, beloved, is a key to spiritual resilience. It's a key to not being overcome by our own griefs. Think about it this way. We live, in my electrical engineering background, I often think of things as I think of a sine wave. You know what a sine wave is, right? That's the way electricity runs, at least alternating current electricity, right? It runs in a sine wave. So some of you may not understand this, but those lights there that are on right now, 60 times every second in this building, they go off. 60 times every second, they go off. And 60 times every second, they peak and they valley, and they cross that middle where they go off. But Pastor, my eyes tell me they don't go off. Well, they don't go off in their effect, do they? We have this effect, and we call it the RMS effect, and that's where everything sort of settles out. That's the effect that we are able to use. What's really interesting about that is that it's the true. It's also true of being in communion with believers, because while we are always doing this, right? When we are down here, we may be able to take encouragement from someone who is up here. And when we're up here, we may be able to give encouragement to someone who is down here, because we're always peaking and valleying, aren't we? This is what I mean when I say there is greater spiritual resilience in being outwardly focused rather than inwardly focused. There's greater spiritual resilience there. And we look at this in Paul, we see, now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Your steadfastness is bringing me up, Paul said. Can we learn, beloved, the art of taking pleasure, of finding joy in the spiritual advancement of others, in the good example of others? Can we learn to rejoice in that? This is what Paul is doing. And notice now, it also turns him Godward, not just outwardly, but Godward. Now notice verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so then we have that wonderful prayer and benediction there in 11, 12, and 13. God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Paul desires to visit the Thessalonians again. Why? Because he knows that he might be of spiritual service to them as one of their pastors. That's why. But notice he has turned outward and he has turned upward when he thinks of the Thessalonians. Turning outward, turning upward. And this is the key, I think, to Paul's spiritual resilience as we see it. I mean, let's just think about the life of the Apostle Paul. We can read about some of the rigors of the apostolic ministry in 2 Corinthians. There's a couple of lists there. The lists are long and they're arduous. A night and a day, Paul will say at the peak of one of those, I spent in the deep, you know, hanging onto a piece of driftwood. And yet he's resilient, isn't he, spiritually? Well, the keys to his resilience are not, well, duh, he's an apostle. That's not it. It's that he is making use of these means that God has given to him. He's focused on the Thessalonians. He's focused on service. He's focused on not being served. He's focused on praising God for his charges and all of the encouragement and joy that they bring to him. In other words, he's a man in Christian communion and making good use of it. Oh, beloved, there is great strength in the communion of saints. All right, so then the chapter ends, very short chapter, really, 13 verses. Notice, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And so notice his abundance of love toward them, but not just him, Silas, Timotheus, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. Now, beloved, this is not a done deal. In chapter 4, we're going to read about some problems, some moral problems in the Thessalonian church, and how Paul will work to correct them. And so notice also that the apostle said all of these things that he says in chapter 3 and in chapter 2, really. He says all of those things knowing that he has yet to deal with a sin problem in the Thessalonian church. Well, so we see then the great love of the Apostle Paul and how that contributed to his spiritual resilience. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.